What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the talk of the town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here with the talk of the town.
We take you to the Hometown Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
With Nick Eden. I am your host, Nick Eden. I got my man KG with me today.
What's up? What's going on, world? What's up?
Yeah, man. It's been a pretty good week, bro.
Man, wonderful. Hey, I want to congratulate you on a successful start of the Tuesday Takeover. I got a lot of great comments about that show, man. We appreciate everybody that did tune in and their cubicles. Cubicle Nation, that one is for you, baby.
The At Work Network.
Yes, sir.
What I'm talking about.
Got a lot of great comments, man. They love how you sound on the radio, the selection that you had, man. If you want to make sure you hear a great selection from Nick, man, make sure you're tuning in every Tuesday, 10 to 12. That's Eastern. 10 a.m. to 12. That's Eastern.
And it is Faith for Work.
Oh, yeah.
It is safe for work.
Had that box around that corner.
I downloaded it onto my phone, and I could listen to it again while I was at work.
How about this? I'm going to have to do that today, man, so when I get in tomorrow, man, I could just ride and vibe out, man, because I'm telling you, you were jamming hard, dude. I'm not mad at you.
Look, man, I got to give it up, you know, to the artist, man. I got some great records, man. I got great records from Noel Gordine and Ruben Studdard.
Mm-hmm.
Cupid, I'm telling you right now, because it's a lot of us here online right now that are fans of Southern hip hop. We grew up in the South. Cupid has a brand new record called "Make You Happy," featuring Mia X. I played it this Tuesday. I am so happy to hear Mia X back. I mean, like, and I said this Tuesday, you know, timeless music, timeless artists. There's no age limit that you can put on somebody like Mia X. Just hearing her voice, man, it was crazy. It was crazy. She hadn't missed a beat either. So I'm like, I was excited about playing that record. I was really excited about playing that record. And I want everybody to make sure that you tune in to Tuesday Morning Takeover. Coming Tuesday, I got some brand new records. I got some of your favorites from this week. So tune in, it's going to be great. I also told you guys that I was going to have those exact numbers for Justin Timberlake. We talked about him originally being set to do around 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake topped the Billboard charts this week with his new album, The 2020 Experience, with 980,622 copies.
You better stop playing.
It is the biggest first week of his career, and it's the biggest debut of the year, and it's an R&B album.
Man, that's the biggest debut in a long time, period.
It's the biggest one since Adele.
Wow.
It's the biggest one since Adele. So you're starting off the week with some R&B. Other urban releases, and I still consider this artist urban because she still got that urban attitude. Pink's album, Truth About Love, came in at number 5. Bruno Mars on Unorthodox Jukebox came in at number 3 with 41,000 sold. Rihanna came in at number 9 with 27,000 sold on Unapologetic. And that's rounding out our early releases. So I'm just, the one thing, and I know some people are like, well, you know, Justin Timberlake's pop artist. Let me say this. Justin Timberlake could have easily gone to Justin Bieber or the Usher route, let's be honest, or the Neo route, or just any one of those routes and say, let me put out this Euro pop dancer. But no, he came back. He came back grown. And he did his thing, man. So I got to give a big shout out to Justin Timberlake, you know, for keeping his roots on this. Now, this didn't happen this week. It just happened to me this week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody has had a chance to pick up or just kind of glance at the new book by Clive Davis called The Soundtrack of My Life. I picked up this book this week, and I picked up Tommy Mottola's book, too. Tommy Mottola's book is okay. This Clive Davis book, I'm telling you, man, he's going in.
Well, what type of things did he divulge in it? I mean, was it something that we did know or didn't know?
Well, it's a few things. I will say something that he didn't know. Let me pull up my crib notes. I had to make some notes here about Whitney Houston. Give me just a second.
I'm just wondering, man, if it's that juicy, man, because I know you were on the internet saying this is a good page turner, man.
It is. Well, I can tell you this one thing, and I haven't gotten to this chapter yet, but it's a lot of people that's not too happy with the chapter that he was talking about the negotiations with Bad Boy. So it's a lot of Puffy fans that's not too happy about that. That I got to wait for, when I get to that chapter, we're going to have to talk about that.
Wow.
But what he did say about Whitney Houston was, Whitney Houston couldn't override gay rumors early in her career because she was having an affair with Jermaine Jackson, who was married at the time.
Now, you know, Jen know a lot about that for some reason. Remember she was telling us about that?
Yeah.
On the previous show?
It never went public, but, you know, everybody around her knew about it.
Wow.
I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, it's going digital. It's definitely going digital. So, like, I will say, you know, for a lot of you industry heads out there, and just if you want to get, you know, some more insight, because Clive Davis has been around for a long time. He was actually a rather intelligent guy. Came from, you know, very meager beginnings. He was a straight-A student. You know, he had a full scholarship to NYU Law and Harvard Law. And, I mean, like, you know, he lost his parents when he was like 18. You know, I'm telling you, it's a page turner. He talked about the whole American Idol experience. He talked about him being fired from Columbia for using his expense account to fund his son's bar mitzvah. He talked about being fired from. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. It's a great book. I'm enjoying it so far. He talks about how Michael Jackson broke into his parents' house to, you know, confront Jermaine Jackson.
Oh.
Yeah. Mike told y'all he was bad.
I got to check that out, man.
He talked about when TLC came to his office to demand the money that because they were broke, and they put their security guard outside the door so nobody could, you know, enter. Toni Braxton didn't like the song "Unbreak My Heart." That was her biggest hit.
Wow.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot. It's a lot. So I would definitely recommend going and getting this book. It's definitely
I'm a frugal person, so when you get finished reading, I'm going to need that.
I tell you what, do you have the Kindle app?
I can get it.
Get the Kindle app, and when I get through reading it, I'll share it with you. You know, you can share books on Kindle.
Did not know that. Kindle, we need a check.
Right. Now everybody's looking at books like, hey man, I need double tape.
Yeah, I need that check, Kendall. We need that check. Send it on in.
Well, look, if you guys are tuning in today, which you are, we're glad that you are. Today we're talking about ratchet and blues. Now, R&B has always had a level of sophistication. Even the classic baby-making songs carried a classiness about them that was lacking in other genres. But over the last 10 years or so, R&B has seen a decline in mainstream popularity. In an effort to rebrand R&B as current and edgy, a new crop of singers have emerged, seemingly distancing themselves from traditional R&B sounds. More than the sound, the lyrics of these artists have become a lot more blatant and in some instances downright crude. But tonight on Talk of the Town, we take a look at the decline of R&B and what it means to the next era of black music. But before we do that, I have a brand new record that I want everybody to listen to. This is by Man Felt Five. I love this record. I love it. Kev hadn't even heard this record yet. That's how I knew what exclusive it is. So right now what we're going to do is we're going to get into first record of the day, which is our man Felt Five and his song Catch Up featuring Elgin. You're listening to The Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton.
This beat is like riding with the roof missing on a Saturday morning on my side of the city making pay. And I got a couple moves that you know I gotta make. And I'm about to get some gas headed to the interstate. Riding with the roof missing, riding with the roof,
yeah.
Riding with the roof missing on a Saturday.
No, sometimes
riding with the roof,
sometimes you just gotta ride
with the roof,
clear your head and all that.
The roof,
yeah,
on a Saturday.
Alabama.
Catch up to my campaign.
It's that summertime flow that was written off in the winter.
Yeah.
Colder than Republicans at a liberal convention.
Woo.
I'm in the state of the crimson.
Yeah.
Ain't no day that's a given. I'm sitting up in the whip contemplating my next position. My mission is getting digits. I'm talking seven figures, a couple commas and no's with a plot to remain persistent. I gotta get that greenery so I can keep that greenery and take it to make it so I gotta double my minty leaves. I'm riding to some better scenery.
Hey.
Sun is shining heavy, so I need to hit that AC. 85 degrees, 85 be the same speed. Police trying to get me, so I had to slow it down a piece. That's country talk if you didn't get what I said.
Hey.
I'm doing everything that I can to avoid the feds.
Hey.
Cause Jump Street be waiting, trying to get you hemmed up. And I don't even bake them pies, but they still be turned up. Making that effort to shut up my blessing and eating my dreams up like Hannibal Lecter, but I gotta get it. And plus, I admit it, sometimes I did wrong, but I know I'm forgiven. I'm on that country shit like King remembered in time, but I'm on my farmer's ish. I gotta spread out my grind. And I said,
can I catch up to my campaign? Campaign.
LG for president,
yeah.
Exclusive, not irrelevant. Smoking gas, matching gas,
yeah.
At the red light, bitch, I'm revving in. Haters all in my rear view, you're too far behind, I can't see you. I'm telling y'all how we do, we keep it jumping harder than freeze.
Come on,
Northside, my niggas gon' ride all day. Grinding, hustling, getting that money, who said that crime don't pay? I'm chasing them numbers. Been doing this for summer. You know we got runners, ballers and stunners, you know we got gunners.
Huh?
Yeah, this sound like thunder. When they get the clap and standing ovation. No lanes be in my clip, wherever the money, that's our location. Rolling, smoking, choking, early moaning, feeling the breeze.
Yeah.
With your main stick in the ride, AKA a trick on my sleeve. She don't wanna leave, but she gotta go.
She gotta go.
Don't know how y'all do it, but this Alabama, and that's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
Work
workflow.
Workflow.
Money flow.
Money flow.
So catch up, cause my gas pedal on the flow. Groundhog.
Catch up to my campaign. 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 Catch up to my campaign. Campaign. Okay, now catch up to my campaign.
And that was my man, Felt Five, with his brand new single, Catch Up, featuring Elgin. Now, Kim,
man,
you haven't heard this record.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, that is, hey, dude, you need to email it to me. Like, seriously, I need that.
I'm about to send it to you. I'm about
first class mail, baby. First class mail.
Yeah. I'm telling
That's
you,
hot. I like that. I like that.
I've heard about four or five records from Felton Project, including an interlude that I want to play on the show, because I promise you, it sums up all of our feelings about the current state of hip hop, and I think we might play it next week on our Hip Hop Needs to Grow Up show. Like, I'm telling you, his new album Unsafe Harbor, dude. Like, I'm gonna email you a few of the tracks off of it.
Cool.
And I'm telling you, dude, this right now, he's my favorite hip hop artist. I can't even front. Friendship aside, just based on the skills alone, he's my favorite hip hop artist right now. So,
yeah, matter of fact, where he at right now? He should be in here right now.
On the road right now. He should be here. He's on the road right now, man. He's out there doing his thing. He's on the road right now.
Cool.
But he's with us in spirit. So, if you guys are just tuning in tonight on Talk of the Town, we are talking about Ratchet and Blues. Now, I'm going to kick this off with an article that came out in December of 2011. This was by John Blake of CNN. He posted on CNN's website, and the title of the article is Where is the Love in R&B Music? I'm just going to read a couple of quick excerpts from it. He said, I was a teenager trying to figure out what the ladies like. I would turn on the TV on Saturday afternoon to catch the hippest trip in America. I'd close my bedroom door to make sure my younger brother wasn't watching. Then I'd imitate the latest dance moves on Soul Train, the African-American dance show. Standing in front of the mirror, I unleashed a series of spasmodic dance moves before embarrassing myself too much to continue. I love the huge afros, lapels that were so wide you could land a small plane on them, and the suave Soul Train host, Don Cornelius, who signed off each show by declaring, "We wish you love, peace, and soul." But most of all, I love the music on Soul Train, especially the slow jam. They had everything. Evocative lyrics, head-bopping grooves, soaring string arrangements, and a whole lot of talk about love. Yet when I listen to R&B today, I ask myself the same question Roberta Flack and Donnie Hathaway posing their classic 1972 duet, Where's the Love? Listening to black music today is depressing. Songs on today's urban radio playlists are drained of romance, tenderness, and seduction. And it's not just about the rise of hardcore hip-hop or rappers who denigrate women. Black people gave the world Motown, Barry White, and Let's Get It On. But we don't make love songs anymore. Now, dude, I just got to say this. It's a lot of stuff that CNN can report on. It's a lot of stuff that CNN does report on. The fact that CNN is posting a story about the decline of R&B, that should let you know something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
That is serious,
let you know,
man.
Something. And I'll say this. You know, for the R&B artists out there, stop blaming it on hip-hop.
So we can't blame it on the hook man no more?
Stop blaming it on hip-hop. You can say, oh, we did it to survive, we did it to this, we did it to that. No, stop blaming it on hip-hop and take some responsibility. You know, we grew up in the 80s and the 90s, the golden age of hip-hop and the last golden age of R&B. Stop blaming it on hip-hop. That's all I'm saying. Now, don't get me wrong, you still got those classic artists out there today, like your Jill Scott, you got your Anthony Hamilton, And even these younger cats, you know, you have some out there that are really talking about something like, I might not be the biggest fan of his voice, but Frank Ocean's writing, I can really get into because dude is a great writer. You know, you got to talk about this. But for the most part, everybody that's trying to do this quote-unquote edgier R&B, this progressive R&B, all this stuff, man, it's getting crazy.
True.
Like, nobody wants to hear that. When was the last time you were able to okay, look, we've all done this. You know, you got a little girl, you know, a little chick over to the house and everything, you know. You were younger, you were probably sneaking around, you know.
Right.
Good R&B for them to listen to, you know, get them in the mood, see if you can get something to happen. What you going to put it on?
Yeah. Man. No.
Come here.
I mean, man, we used to have that tape back in the day that we all shared. I'm telling you, boy.
Yep.
It was a killer.
Yeah.
It was a killer.
Everybody,
A side, B side, baby. B side was the murder.
Right. That was the killer right there. And if you guys want to get in on this conversation, make sure you give us a call at 718-508-9972. What's different about the R&B from when you grew up to the R&B that's now? Let's look at our top R&B artists, and this is based on Billboard.
Microphone, Phil.
Top R&B artists are Trey Songz, Chris Brown, Neo, Alicia Keys, Beyonce, and Rihanna. Now, let's be honest. How many of those are actually doing R&B?
Beyonce, she'd get it in every once in a while.
Yeah, this last album was definitely a lot more R&B.
Right.
I think that pregnancy had something to do with it. You know.
Emotion.
It was a lot more soulful.
Right.
But in the grand scheme of it, not that much.
True that.
And I guess my biggest thing about it is, this is where a lot of these artists got their start. This is where their core is. And quite frankly, when they're no longer relevant, that's where they will go back.
Huh.
They're not going to have Beyonce on American Idol every year, you know, once she's not hot anymore.
Right.
But I bet she'll be at the Essence Festival.
I mean, you know, the funny part about it is, man, when you look at the material that they put out there, man, it's like it's acceptable for them to come half-hearted with the lyrics now. You know, I mean, the lyrics, they're not complex. Like, you know, when you think about the subtlety of some of the records you used to hear back in the day, you know, a child wouldn't know what those lyrics meant. You know,
you
now,
play it's late. Yeah, I get you. I mean, let's look at Earth, Wind, and Fire. Look at the song Reasons. It's a classic song. It's about a one-night stand. So is It's Only for One Night.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like you said, the subtlety of it, the very subtlety of it will keep, you know, it kicks that air of, honestly, it's like, where do you start? Where did it start? What happened?
I mean, man, you know, I'm looking at Khalifa, man. He put 70s, 80s, 90s, and neo-soul was real music. I can agree. Some of the neo-soul artists, man, they kind of suspect. But when you think about the 70s, you think about the 80s. Some of the 80s, man, I think that was a confused era, in my opinion. But with the exception of Prince and early Michael Jackson and some of the, you know, late 80s, like the Keith Sweats and people like that. But the 90s was pretty cool. You had a different swing with it in the 90s, but the 70s and early 80s, I mean, that was some real, real serious R&B.
I don't know if you can necessarily say that. Even Michael Jackson was confused. I mean, dude, come on now.
No, I'm talking about the 80s. The 80s was a confused time period, you know, to me. Because, I mean, a lot of people, man, you know, you had a lot of the a lot of the guys that came in and started taking over records, they were not black. I'm just going to say it bluntly. They didn't, you know, you got R&B artists with country producers, country music producers in there. You know, true that, Khalifa, man. Luther, Sade, definite. I can't. I mean, I'm not saying that the '80s was just thrown off, but the sounds of the '80s, when you got that new pop, that bubblegumish type R&B, man, it wasn't the traditional big vocals. Because like a comparison to me is Beyonce and what's that girl name that lost off, Jennifer Hudson. Now vocally,
yeah.
Jennifer is a throwback to God, man, just beautiful vocals, period. Beyonce is just like the movie she played in, you know, like the bland sound. You know, you can fit Beyonce in any era and she'll go. But I like to hear throwback artists, like with the big voice. Even, you know, like Aretha Franklin, people like that, man. You know, you look at those people, the lyrics that was written for them. I mean, you know, some of the writers that you had back in the day, man, it's crazy, even, you know, for the artist to be able to perform at that level with that type of music. You know what I'm saying? And you look at what the artists have now, lyrically, and, I mean, man, what is it to it, man? I mean, I can go in there and auto-tune, and I'll be dope as the next one.
Yeah, that's true. Now, okay, going back to what you just said about Jennifer Hudson, it takes me back to when they were first working on her project, and the one thing that I was hearing a lot, just kind of back-talking the business, was that they were having trouble finding material for Jennifer Hudson because her voice was so big.
Mm.
And it's like, how detached have you come from Big Ballad? When
wow.
was finding material for Whitney Houston ever a problem? When was finding material for Mariah Carey ever a problem?
Uh-huh.
And then you have this young lady that comes along with this big, beautiful voice, which pretty much gives you almost no limits musically.
True that.
You don't have to auto-tune her. You know, you don't have to, you know, stretch her to get this certain amount of note or this certain amount of note. But you're having problems finding material for her. And I can remember the first record that they put out. It was a horrible record, too. It was called Special.
Uh-huh.
And it featured Papoose. Look it up on the internet. It's probably on YouTube. It's Jennifer Hudson Special. Well, I'll tell you, this is probably the dumbest record I've ever heard in my life. The fact that they even let this leak, it was just like, are you serious? So, like, who's the blame for it? Is it the artist themselves? Or is it the label behind it? That kind of goes into that talk we were having about hip-hop. Like, who's really to blame for it, content-wise? Now, if you guys want to get into this conversation, please give us a call, 718-508-9972. I guess my next question, and leading into the second part of the discussion, would be, going back to what we were saying before, where did it start? Now, I know you said that the 80s were a confusing time. What I remember the most about the 80s, and you're right, there was a more of a melting pot, even on radio. You remember back in the 80s, you could hear, you know, a Phil Collins record, an Aerosmith record, and then Run DMC and Luther all in the same hour.
True, man.
You know, it was all in the same hour. That's what you would hear on radio. Like, we grew up listening to as many, you know, white artists or pop artists as we did black ones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not taking anything away from any white artists, man. I mean, lyrically, they had great songs. Musically, you know, the music of the arrangement of the records were pretty good. The energy of the music was pretty good. I mean, you know, it wasn't anything. The line of a lot of the music in the '80s was, like you say, it was blurred. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a decent time, but for me, just the R&B artist period were in the mix of, am I pop or am I truly R&B? And I think we lost that right there, man. That's the part that I'm looking at, you know?
Right. I can understand that.
You know how you were saying as far as the classiness of the records, the sophistication of the records, you know, it changed over time. You know, it kept changing. And that's, to me, that's when the evolution of that started going in that direction.
Yeah. I remember seeing just a couple of years ago, I was on YouTube and I was watching an interview from 1988 with Otis Williams of Temptations. And And it was 88 because it's when he put out that book that they based the TV movie off of.
Yep.
So the lady was asking him when the Temptations were going to come out with some new music, and he was like, well, right now, you know, we're actively in the studio. We're looking for it right now because I'm not really impressed with what I'm hearing. He said there's a void right now with good music. I'm not really impressed with what I'm hearing on the radio. And I got to think about that. It made me look up what was, you know, on the radio in 1988. Now, you had new albums by Billy Ocean, Anita Baker,
right.
Chaka Khan. Like, there were some classic artists that came out. But you have to look at who the most popular artist of 1988 was in terms of urban music. It was Bobby Brown.
Yeah, and he's one of the catalysts of the raunchiness of R&B.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he took the whole bad boy image, and I mean, he ran with it. I mean, he made it work for him, you know, because I mean, he was Jodeci before Jodeci, Drew Hill before Drew Hill. Like I said, the 90s had their own little thing, and Bobby, like I said, late 80s. Bobby put it in that perspective. And, you know, the songwriters took the key. They took that little notation and ran with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And looking back on it now, like, we consider that classic. We consider that classic music. I'll put it that way. Now, maybe not classy, but classic music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess my biggest thing is, like, going back and listening to it now, I can kind of see where it did start to decline. And
yeah.
I don't want to put it all on Bobby Brown. It wasn't all Bobby Brown.
I mean, he switched the mode of it, you know. But who would you say took it there? Who?
I got to say the person that took it, man. And Bobby Brown sold a lot of records. He sold, but his first album didn't sell a lot. That Don't Be Cool album was the one that went through the roof. But the person that I have to say did it, really did it, was R. Kelly.
Yes, Lord.
And
R. Kelly with that Baby Robin in the Cradle music.
R. Kelly did it, and it was selling so well for so long. You got to think, R. Kelly had his first five albums sold 5 million each.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of raunchiness. That's a lot of bump and grind. That's a lot of sex me. That's a whole lot of down low and the remix.
But would you consider him to be edgy? Would you consider him truly to be edgy? Because if you look at bump and grind, the lyrics of bump and grind, and put it up against Sexual Healing, is it really edgy? Sexual Healing versus bump and grind, is that edgy?
Yeah. Lyrically, I would put them around the same.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrically, I would put them around the same. The thing about Marvin Gaye, like, Marvin Gaye opened the door, but he never went all the way through.
Right.
Marvin Gaye provided a blueprint for the polarized artist, someone like R. Kelly, who can do a Sex Me and then turn around and do I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah.
Or Raheem Devon, who can do, you know, Customer but then do Bulletproof. You know, he provided that blueprint for them to do it. Yes, it was edgy, but the thing about it is, with Marvin Gaye, he did concept albums. So, you know, on one album it might be What's Going On, the next album it might be Let's Get It On.
But, you know,
that was
the creativity of the people that Marvin was working with. We know R. Kelly had people helping him write also. But if you look at the whole catalyst of sex and the music and the ratchetness of it, you know, people back in the day was looking at Sexual Healing and like, oh, my God, did he just say that? But yet and still, was it classic, you know, like done classy? Or was it like, you know, I mean, if you go beyond R. Kelly and look at some of the stuff you hear now with even, you know, what's the girl named Kelly Rowland? You know, I like my kisses down low. You know what I'm saying? That's three generations of artists right there that we can look at the timeline and see if you go from Marvin Gaye, from Sexual Healing and the subtlety of it, subtleness of it, and then you go to R. Kelly, to Bump and Grind and 12 Play and all that right there. Still subtle, but he had his raunchiness to it. And then you come to Kelly Rowland, bam, I want you to kiss it down low. And look at Trey Song, look at everybody else. What's your thought process with that?
R. Kelly said, "You remind me of my Jeep, I want to ride it." Like, it's something like my favorite sound, I want to pump it. Like, that's devil. He was not subtle in the least bit. You got your tickle bitties in the air. He was not subtle in the least bit. He wasn't subtle in the least bit. And the thing about it is, because he went so long, he did it for so long, so consistently, almost the majority of his records were about sex. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't until later on in his career, and then after he started having legal trouble, that he really started expanding. Because he give you that "I Believe I Can Fly" every now and then, but you have five ignitions in the process. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, when you know,
it was a give and take, though, Nick. It was a give and take. I understand that. But Knievel, man, just put up something that made me think about something, too, man. Vanity 6. Hey, man, Prince wasn't playing back in the day.
You know, Prince wasn't playing.
We can look at the music now and call it ratchet. We can call it raunchy, but we had those back in the day. What is the comparison to these guys, man? What is the comparison to the writing? You know, we can look at the whole balance aspect, and we can look at the, you know, they had this record or that record, but, I mean, when you think about just the overall, I mean, I'm going straight to it. You know, my lyrics are going to be just, boom, that's it, because in the 80s, you know, when you think about, what's the name of that song? Tonight and in a Fantasy, the Nasty Girl record.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the Nasty Girl record. That was, man, it was almost like listening to porn on the radio.
Well, the thing about it is, and this is kind of going back to something that Charlie said last week when we were having the hip-hop discussion. There was a balance. And then, quite frankly, vocally, the talent was a lot better. So it's like, not only are you not going to try vocally, you're not going to try lyrically, and I'm supposed to take this as the R&B of the day? Because let's be honest. Let's be honest. And this is not a diss to Trey Songz in any way. But let's be honest. If Trey Songz would have come out in 1992, do you think he would have had a chance of competing along the likes of Boyz II Men, Jodeci, Silk? Because Silk was a little raunchy too. Would that freak me, baby?
I mean, lyrically, no, I wouldn't say. No, lyrically, no. But at that time, he would be in the lane with R. Kelly. He would be in the lane of a Keith Sweat, almost.
Almost.
Almost, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he would fit. Because, I mean, when you think about the content of the music and, you know, what Trey Songz bring to the record, I mean, vocally, we know he sucked. You know what I'm saying? But when you think about the content, the lyrics of the music, you know what I'm saying, and compare it and contrast it and everything else. Because, remember, we even talked about Rick James, Freaky Girl. A lot of the songs that we have now could be played in different eras.
Yeah, I think it's just a little bit, and I get it. I get what you're saying. All right, let's look at this. Let's look at the lyrics of this one song.
Okay.
Trey Songz did called "Scratch Me Up." Love the way I eat. I love the way it be. We a couple of freaks rocking to the rhythm and rhythm of the beat. Your body on my body. Clap, clap, clap. Back,
wow.
back. Smack, smack, smack. When I act like that, I mean, dude.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. That wouldn't work, man. Hey, shout out Knievel, man. Hey, he said the music changed, not the sex. I told him, sex should never change. It should always stay the same.
Here's the thing, you're going to always have baby makers.
You're going to always have baby makers. And this is the thing about it. When we talk about Ratchet and Blues, we're not just talking about, you know, just a sex song. And if you guys, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Ratchet and Blues tonight.
Right.
And we're talking about how the lyricism of R&B has declined over the years. So if you, I'm talking about going from, when I say Ratchet and Blues, it's not just about sex.
I'm talking about
going from Let Me Hold You Tight If Only For One Night.
True
to
that.
Keep you near, to keep you safe and clear. It'll be so right if only for one night. To Shawty is a 10, a 10. Shawty is a 10, a 10. Shawty is a 10, a 10. Shawty is a 10, a 10.
Oh, that's horrible. That is horrible.
I mean, that's what I mean. In the pure lyrics of it, like, you have to think about, let's take the 80s.
Okay.
Who was the most notable songwriters of the 80s?
Terry and Jam Lewis. What's the name? Terry Jam and Terry Lewis and Teddy Riley and Jimmy Jam. Caniva Man put that up there a minute ago. And Babyface.
Teddy Riley, Babyface, L.A. Reid, you know, Diane Warren.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and now, let's name your top songwriters of today. Neo and Dream.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruno Mars. And I like Bruno. I like what he brings to the table. It's something a little different. But yeah, like, okay, and even in the 80s, you said Lionel Richie. Phenomenal songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
But who do you have now? Neo and a Dream. And Neo is a great songwriter, don't get me wrong. And even a Dream, I like some of his material. Like, I love that, the Love on Top record he did with Beyonce. Love it.
Yeah.
But Shawty is a 10. A 10.
Shawty is a
10. Shawty is a 10. A 10. In her falsetto. Ooh, 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 ooh. Baby.
You know, the sad part about it, man, I'll be honest with you, man, if you had to take records, you know, if you had to take any records and you wanted to have a good relaxing night with your female, you're going to either go back to the early 90s or you're going to put on some Marvin Gaye, you're going to put on some Teddy Pendergrass, you're going to put on some Luther Vandross, or you're going to put on Barry White. But I don't like Caniva Man asked a great question. Are they even making slow jam records anymore? Are they making records on that level anymore?
You know what? I feel there are some slow records, but the problem is they're not getting played on radio. They're album cuts now. They're purely album cuts. Because, and this goes into a bigger problem within the music business, because you have so many syndicated playlists in radio now, You don't have that story. Like, I'm sorry to say this, but this generation of artists will never have that story, that breakout story of, you know, the record was sitting there dead, and then one DJ in D.C. took a chance and played it, and then it became number one there, and it became number one here and there. You're not going to have that anymore.
Right.
You're just not going to. The last real story I can think about that was when Noel Gordine had The River.
Oh,
yeah. Steve Harvey heard it. And Steve Harvey is just a different beat. He's not your average DJ. Steve Harvey has an enormous amount of influence over the radio industry. And he literally took that song from satellite radio. He played it on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. And then, along with the help of one of the best radio people in the business, Arlinda Garrett, it shot to number one on the adult R&B chart.
Right.
That's the last real story of an R&B hit that a DJ took the chance on. And I mean, I stretch saying DJ when I speak of Steve Harvey, because he's a personality. He's not a DJ personality.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's more of a situation where it's like you're not going to have that chance. You're going to have that chance now where it's, what was the popular song among people who listen to internet radio, or, oh, it's a popular song among people who are podcasters. You'll have that now. But there are not a lot of ballads that are just being played on the radio. It's certain people that you just absolutely cannot play. Like, if Anthony Hamilton comes out with a new record, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a radio program that says, oh, I'm not going to play Anthony Hamilton. Because, I mean, he's just one of those artists that connects with younger people and older people. He's one of those artists. He's,
right.
To me, he's this generation's version of Al Green.
Oh, yeah. I'll say a mixture of Al Green and Barry White, because the boy can go.
Yeah. Jill Scott is another one. It's like, you're not going to not play a Jill Scott record. You have the exceptions, but those are the exceptions. They're not the norm. They're just
true
not playing ballads on that like radio anymore. And then really, if you look at ballads, how much has the ballad changed?
You rarely hear ballads anymore like how you used to. They're not full, true ballads.
Right. I think the last big, big record that was a ballad was when R. Kelly dropped When a Woman Loves.
Yeah.
And it was so far apart from whatever else was going on the radio, and it was like everybody was waiting to see what R. Kelly's new direction was going to be, because, you know, he had come off that Untitled album, and it was like he sounded like somebody trying to sound like R. Kelly.
Right.
So it was time for him to reinvent himself. And he's the master of reinvention. He and Diddy are honestly the masters of reinvention. R. Kelly a little bit more, because he's just a lot more creative.
Right.
I'm sorry. The only time in the last 7 years, I would say, that you really heard a lot of ballads on there is with you listen to a song for the lyrics, is R. Kelly. Because when Trapped in the Closet came out, he had everybody hanging on what words he was going to say next. Now, when he started talking about the midget and the pregnant white lady and all that stuff, it got a little crazy. But what I'm saying is, the first 5 chapters of Trapped in the Closet, you were locked in.
Yeah.
You were locked in. Now, the question now I have, going to transition to this last part is, is there any hope with this new generation of artists? You have people like Miguel, who I like Miguel for what he does. Would I place him at the top of the R&B totem pole? Yes, for right now, only because the lack of the talent pool.
Even though this guy hasn't put anything out, you know, since maybe what, last year or so, but what about Usher?
I think at this point, this is the problem with Usher. Usher doesn't make hits, he chases hits. I had a big debate with somebody on Facebook a few days ago about this, about who was better, Usher or R. Kelly. Who was the quote unquote king of R&B?
And hands down, R. Kelly right now.
The reason that I said R. Kelly is this. If you sit R. Kelly in a studio by himself for a month and tell him, hey, come out with an album, he's going to come out with The Chocolate Factory.
True.
He's going to come out with 12 Play. He's going to come out with, you know, Happy People. You sit Usher in a studio by himself, he's going to come out asking, hey, when can I call Jermaine Dupri? When can I call Rick Ross? When can I call Jonte Austin? Like, that's the true mark of a great artist and just a full all-around artist. Usher he chases hits, and because he has a lot of pop attention on him, like, let's be honest.
Yeah, but he...
album, it changed.
Man, with Usher, you know, he's not a traditionalist. You know, R. Kelly can be a traditional type R&B guy. You know, that's the only issue I have with Usher. You know, the fact that he's not a traditional R&B guy. He tried, but he's not there.
Usher,
you know, R. Kelly can break
it. The trend is, that's what Usher is. If it's singing real R&B, he's going to come out with the biggest R&B album you can think of. If it's singing, because the truth be told, the last really, really, really big R&B album was Confessions. And that was mostly Jermaine Dupri. One thing I can definitely say about Jermaine Dupri, he has a love for R&B that a lot of executives in the music business do not have.
Mm-hmm.
And that Confessions album was all Jermaine Dupri.
Right.
He stopped working with Jermaine Dupri for a while, and then you get Oh My God.
Yeah. Pop, Euro
Pop. Which was fine. It was a big pop record. The album sold like 1.5, but you sold 10 million on a complete R&B album with Confessions. Usher is one of those artists that whatever the trend is at the time, that's what he's singing. R. Kelly is one of those people that's like, I'm going to set the trend.
But my question to you two, and if anybody would like to add into this conversation, we got these phone lines open. You can press number one if you're on the line, or either you can dial 718-508-9972. But who are some of the up and coming artists in R&B that you would say, you know, you can label them as traditionalists, or you know, like, man, they keep in that tradition, you know. I mean, they're true vocalists with it. Also, you know, I mean, who are some of the artists? I mean, I know you keep up on that, but who are some of the people we need to look out for?
There are three that
only
stand out.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow.
There are three. You know what? I take that back. There are four. There are four artists that are that really they do. One, and I know her name is not very known right now, but she's very well known as a songwriter. Her name is Stacey Barth. Now, she doesn't look like a pop star in any way. She looks more like Precious than she looks like Beyonce.
Oh, wow.
She ain't that big, but I'm just saying. She, in a comparison, of, she doesn't, don't get me wrong, Stacey Barth's a beautiful girl. She's just not your traditional mainstream media beauty. But she's a phenomenal, phenomenal songwriter. And she's a great vocalist. She'll put you in the mood right in between Jill Scott and Angie Stone.
Uh-huh.
So, Stacey Barth, Luke James. Now, he might be a little bit more familiar. He had a song called I Want You that came out last year. And when I tell you, this boy got some pipes on him. Luke James, and a lot of people are working with him, but they're like, look, he's the best male vocalist in R&B right now, and we need to put some. So, like, Def Jam is putting a lot behind him, but they're taking their time with him. Third person would be Elle Varner. Everybody would know her for her song Refill. You know, can I get a refill?
Right.
I mean, her album, it's easily one of my top favorite albums of last year. And then the last one will be an artist out of Chicago, brand new. I actually played his song twice on the Tuesday Morning Takeover, and that's BJ the Chicago Kid. Phenomenal writer. When I tell you, he did it the traditional way. He put out an album independently, and he got out and he worked that album, and he built up his buzz. He's worked with Bilal. He's worked with Kendrick the Family Soul. Right now he's in the studio with Jill Scott writing for her new album, and he just signed with Motown last year. I actually did a list on SoulTrain.com called the 2013 R&B Freshman Class. He's one of the top ones on there. And like those four, in my opinion, they're going to be the next one because they blend the old with the new. Their music is edgier, but they still you can tell they take time with their lyrics. And I think that there's still room for that. Even in this microwave music business, I think that there's still room for someone who comes with some good lyrics. Because anybody can appreciate good lyrics. Anybody can appreciate good lyrics. I think we got a caller.
Man, yeah, good friend of the show, man.
What's going on, bringing me in there?
Chuck and Charles, what's going on, my brother?
What's good with you, Kevin and Nick? What's happening with you, brother?
Everything's wonderful, brother.
Can't call it, brother. What's going on?
And that's what's up. You know, what I got to say about that, man, it's like, it's the guys that's doing it in the R&B, point blank, are the white guys. I mean, you have Robin Thicke, you have Justin Timberlake, you have that dude that did the record with Marsha Ambrosius. What's his name? I think I don't...
Daly.
Daly.
Oh, yeah, Daly. He is dope.
Now, they're doing real R&B. All these other cats out here, you know, they're quite suspect. We talk about it all the time, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just something that, you know, I think their genuine love of R&B feel, it goes deep, and they really know how to tap into it. Right now, these cats out here that are doing R&B, they're just doing it for record sales. And cats like Justin, that's why he stepped away for so long, because he does it for the passion of it. if he's not inspired, he's not going to do it, you know. And that's why he was away for so long, you know, because music wasn't inspiring. You know, he wasn't inspired by nothing out here. And those are things that, you know, that moves us, that gets us into that zone. When you hear good music, that makes you want to make good music. But, you know, it's just, it's pitiful. Our brothers aren't doing it. It's these other guys that's out here doing it, and they kill them, you know.
True that. I mean, that's an interesting comparison that you said about the white guys, and it puts me in the mind of what happened to blues. You know, when we dominated blues, and all of a sudden you had Eric Clapton, you had, you know, all these different guys come in, and they put the passion into it after we just let it go to the wayside somewhat.
Because they study it. They study what it is we do. And they, when they tap into it, they get it. And it's something that is genuine. When they tap into it, they do it well. And I was listening to something that I was very impressed by with Robin Thicke.
Uh-huh.
Someone had asked, "Well, what do you feel about Justin, you know, having your sound?" It's like, look, man, you know, we all grew up listening. We're white guys that grew up listening to Marvin Gaye and listening to guys that really made an impact on us. So obviously, we're gonna sound the same, you know.
Yeah.
We come from that same life of music, you know. We listen to the same
right.
genre, so it's inevitable that we're gonna make records that sound alike, you know. If it was anybody else, you know, we would be having beef. You know, if it was straight songs, after what you feel about Chris Brown, oh, he was so, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. R&B beef.
It was just a welcome response when I heard Dude, you know, respond on that comment, because I guess someone that, the interviewer, they're really trying to get more out of, you know, something, a beef statement.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But he laid it flat out. He's like, I love what Justin is doing, you know. And it
Most
was like
definitely.
Kumbaya.
Most
you know?
Definitely. You're listening to the Middleman Radio, Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton. Chuck, man, Chuck Charles, producer, who are you feeling right now?
Wow. Who I'm feeling on the R&B? I mean, Kim. I'm loving Kim, you know.
Oh, we forgot about Kim, Nick.
You know, that's somebody that's doing it for me. You know, as far as a male vocalist, on the trend side of things, of course, I'm feeling Miguel, you know. I've seen what he can do musically and musicianship-wise as far as picking up an instrument. He plays the guitar, so that took my respect for him to another level. Anytime someone can incorporate an instrument in their artistry, that just takes it a step up for me, you know. So I was really impressed with that. And, of course, my artist that I manage, Mr. Ryan Kilgore, which is an urban jazz artist that, you know, is also the saxophonist for legendary Mr. Stevie Wonder. But we're, you know, really focusing on his project and just good music. So, you know,
Chuck, I think you need to holler at George about that. I think you need to holler at George Lil Jon about that, because I would love to see that project come out on purpose. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, I know George. You know, matter of fact, I turned him on to the team in Asia when I was working with
him. Yeah, you turned him on to Kendrick.
Yeah, I started him. Now, you know, he's really bigging up them, what they're doing. But I know George well. And speaking of which, matter of fact, I see a post that he posted on NDIRE. Have you guys seen that new album cover of her song Cocoa Butter?
Mm-mm. I haven't seen the cover, but I love that song.
I love the record too. Check out the cover though. I mean, I don't want to throw nobody no thought in whatever situation, but check out that record.
Looking it up right now.
Yeah, check it out and tell me what you see. And I'm sure that is for the record sales that check it out.
Man, I mean, you know, for the conversation and everything that we talked about today, man, I mean, me personally, you know, I'm an old school dude, as you probably already know, Chuck. I love 70s music. I love, you know, early 80s. Prince is, you know, some of his stuff is definitely amazing. You know, do you see any artist that's on the come up that would personify what R&B was from the traditional standpoint, other than the ones you just named just a second ago? We are talking to super producer Chuck and Charles on Middleman Radio, Talk of the Town Radio. What do you see anybody on that lane, man?
I'm still trying to find that person, man. I haven't really haven't come across that. You know, I'm loving a lot of what independent artists are doing, so I'm sure they're out there. There's another guy, and once again, he's a white guy, that his name is Daniel Dinberg or something. He's from the UK, or I think he's from Sweden or something. But he's like a YouTube sensation with a lot of the songs that he's doing. But a lot of the guys that I really see doing something musically that's inspiring me, other cats that's like independent, unknown, unsigned artists. But, you know, what's really sad is a lot of these guys that are signing these artists like Dream and these random artists out here that's doing things, that's getting exposure. L.A. Reid is signing these guys, and it's kind of ironic where, I mean, he's a music maker.
Right.
But yet, you know, he's signing these artists that, to me, don't have anywhere near the capability. I don't want to say capability, because they're obviously making records that people are enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
But the quality of what him and Kenny did, it was incredible. And, of course, you guys were speaking earlier with the lyric content of what you were reading. I believe that was you, Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're reading the lyrics of Shawty, one of the songs that Dream wrote, and in comparison to what Kenny Babyface Edmonds in L.A. did, I mean, it can't compare. But my point is, he's signing these guys, you know, and I think it's just he's made his money, so he's just trying to stay fresh and on top of it. I mean,
right, just trying to stay relevant.
He's trying to stay relevant.
We're speaking with Chuckie Charles, man. Chuck.
By the way, Kev, real quick, I just saw the India Irie cover. I was on George's page. I just saw the cover.
Yeah, I'm looking at, man, we on the same lane, man. I'm looking at the cover. Why did they lighten up India Irie like three different shades? She looking like Beyonce right now.
Yeah. So that was disheartening to see that, because all that. That those great songs that she did, Brown Skin,
you got her looking like Beyonce.
The song is called Cocoa Butter.
Man, I don't care how much cocoa butter you put on her, she ain't gonna get that light.
What kind of cocoa butter is that?
Right, the song is talking about the love of a guy feel like cocoa butter. It has nothing to do with the imaging of her on that cover. You know.
Wow. This is crazy, man. I am sad by this.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, not, like I said, not to throw no salt, nobody's come up or whatever, but that just goes to show what you got to do to make relevant sales. And once again, the record is a nice record. I mean, I'm a fan of what she does. I know India, and I can respect what she does musically.
But somebody somewhere in her camp, man, should have told her, you know, this is not a good look. We're trying to get our young women to have more pride in themselves and more respect than going
more,
to other
more
direct.
Comfort.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was just something that I observed and thought it was, you know, a bit different. And it wasn't just myself that notice that, you know.
This is crazy. I don't know what to say, Chuck.
Yeah.
Man, we appreciate you for calling in, man, giving your input in tonight, man. you know, anytime you want to come through, man, you want to bring your guy through, man, we would love to interview him,
okay.
You know, and talk
okay.
a little bit more about that project.
That's cool. That's cool. And we'll definitely be in touch. And we're giving a show on the 5th of April. I believe
uh-huh.
it's at the we're doing so many shows, I can't really think. But I'll hit you with that information before that time.
Okay.
I can have you put that information out there for me.
And for the immediate purposes, where can we find him at right now? To all our listeners out there right now, where can we go look for him right now?
Well, you can go to Ryan Kilgore music.com or go to my Facebook page. You can go to Chucky Charles, that's Chucky Charles, Charles, and you'll see a number of posts that I have up there as well for upcoming shows, events, things of that nature. So definitely be on the lookout.
Most definitely, man. And once again,
cool.
Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank
we
you.
We appreciate it, Chuck. Thank you.
All right, you too, man. Take it easy.
Wow, Nick. When he brought in that whole India Irie thing, man, that hurt me right there, Nick.
Yeah, man, I can't even front.
Wow.
I can't even
if you
front.
If you're out there listening to us right now, man, go look up the Cocoa Butter cover of India Irie. Wow. Shouts out to Dub G, man.
Always. I'm doing a looking mother.
Go ahead, Nick, man. Let's get this thing cracking, man.
Well, this was a great show, and we appreciate everybody taking an hour and some change out of their night to come and holler at us, see what's going on with the middlemen. Tonight we did talk about Ratchet and Blues, and that's one of Dub G's favorite words. Speaking of shouting out Dub G, that's one of his favorite words, Ratchet. I'm going to say this much on the topic. I'm a big believer in letting each generation have their stars, which is why I'll never sit there and just trash what's going on. But I will say this. One day, and for those of us who have children, one day our children are going to look back and say, man, I sure wish that R&B was how it used to be, you know, when Trey Songz was singing.
No, wow.
Think about that. I don't want to keep knocking on Trey Songz. I don't want to keep knocking on him because it's not just him. And the one thing I can say about Trey Songz is, in the height of his popularity, I applaud him for keeping his music urban and not going that whole Euro pop way. Like, I applaud him for that because he's definitely one of the blackest R&B stars that's out there right now. Like, so I don't want to keep just, you know, talking about him. But
right.
Music has always provided the soundtrack. It's the soundtrack of our life. I can sit there and I can tell you any Boys and Men, Silk, Jodeci, Drew Hill record that was with me, that I can listen to it right now, and it takes me back to, you know, a specific point in my life. And I can remember the feeling I had at that moment, what I was going through. I can remember the smells around me. I can remember the taste around me. You get what I'm saying?
Right, like, right.
And you never know. That may be the case for this younger generation. But we got to get back to love because, one, especially for those of us who have daughters, we have to realize that this was being pumped out into this radio and how women are being disrespected on radio right now. This is being pumped into our daughters' heads.
Oh, yeah.
And it's affecting how they view relationships. And it's affecting how they view life in general. We have to take some more responsibility. We get on hip-hop all the time about its content. And it's high time that we hold R&B in the same regard. So, just food for thought. We appreciate you guys checking in with us tonight. Make sure you listen to the Middleman Talk Show this coming Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Can't let them know what we're talking about.
The topic this Sunday is I Have It All and I Don't Need You. We're talking about our successful women out here that you got it all. You don't need a man, but you still long for one. You still long for one. This is almost like a part two to our show that we did a while ago called Why Are You Single? But we're going to take it a little bit more in depth because can you be successful and happy at the same time? Tune in Sunday, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And if you know any sisters out there that got it all, got the house, the car, the babies, everything, don't need no man, tell her to call in. We want to talk to her. Is she really happy? That's this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. And matter of fact, this Tuesday, for all our Cubicle Nation out there, make sure you tune in.
The show. To the Tuesday morning takeover.
There you go.
10 o'clock a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. We'll be dropping you some of the best grown and sexy, safe for work R&B out there. We got brand new records from Dondria, John Michael. We got brand new records from Cupid, Ruben Studdard, Noel Gordine. We got a lot of new records out there. Lynn Johnson. It's a lot going on. So make sure that you tune in. And we got a couple of brand new debuts this week. So I want you to pay special attention. We might even have a call in from one of those artists. So, you know, just pay attention. And if you're one of those independent artists out there, R&B, R&B pop, R&B jazz, R&B soul, go ahead and send us your content. Send us your clean version. Clean version, and I stress that again, clean, but if they're not clean, we got somebody on staff that can clean it for a minimal fee. At wearethemillmen@gmail.com. We'll go ahead and clean those up for you. If they're not clean, if they aren't, we'll go ahead and throw it in the rotation. We're about helping the independents. There's no major artist being played on this show. They got it. They got the budget for radio. We're about helping the next generation of stars.
Most definitely.
So with that, I said we can go ahead and hit that outro, dog.
Most definitely, man. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Spell 5, middlemen, yeah, Spell 5, oh, follow me at Spell 5 on Twitter, yeah. It's the talk of the town, man, it's so ill. We talking real news in the music business here. State your opinion in the chat or you can call in. Hey, they be going in,